This Friday's on.
I mix what I like. What I like.
On I Mix What I Like, you may check us out on imixwhatilike.org, where you can see all these other shows and what my daddy likes and other cool things.
Beating Ben Wahad. Who beats up a 71-year-old man? That question flashed in my mind when I heard about the vicious attack on former Black Panther Daruba Ben Wahad during a speech before members of the new Black Panther Party, NBPP, in Atlanta. While what sparked the attack may be unclear, the results aren't. Ben Wahad, a lifelong revolutionary who has spent decades in the Black Liberation Movement, was beaten unconscious by NBPP members. His jaw broken in several places. He wasn't hit or just punched. He was pummeled, kicked, stomped, and repeatedly assaulted. Who beats up a 71-year-old man? Who beats up a 71-year-old veteran of the Black Freedom Movement, a former member of the famed New York Panther 21? Who does that? Apparently, the new Black Panther Party does. The new BPP is not to be confused with the original BPP, as the beating of Ben Wahad demonstrates. According to a letter circulated on the internet, quoting Malik Zulu Shabazz, leader of the NBPP until 2014, Ben Wahad threatened him. According to that document, that threat didn't happen at this meeting, but is alleged to have happened before, sometime before. It may have been some dispute as to speaking times, but that hardly justifies the attack on Ben Wahad, who long has been known for his outspokenness. Ben Wahad, since the days of his youth, has been a revolutionary, and he endured almost 20 years in New York dungeons before proving, using FBI documents, the injustice of his trial and conviction. When he left prison, he continued to struggle, writing, organizing, campaigning, struggling for Black freedom. One could always count on him for sharp analysis and principled resistance to the system's relentless attacks on Black life. Years before the Black Lives Matter movement emerged. That he should have to endure such an attack from the NBPP proves that for some, Black lives don't matter much. Not when you can beat a 71-year-old man unconscious. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
I mix what I like.
So, what's up?
What's up? Struggle is up, brother. Oh, oppression is up, brother.
What?
Yeah, whatever. So, brother, where your phone's at? How you gonna call yourself a revolutionary and you ain't got no phone? If you were really down with the struggle, you'd have your sandals and your capri on, brother. And if where your hair wrap? Where your sandals? Where your capri pants? What's going on?
You know I hurt myself.
Keep it real.
Wow.
Just keep it real. They bust a move. Hop on up there.
Cotton pickers concoct killing fields, cloak puppet demons, crash culture, dung digesting coon sepultures, brainwashed by vultures, deal, hell hip hop to populate prison and chain brain prisms, paper tigers propagate pain, pumping prostitution pension. mention. Play, pilot position. If you want riches, if build ancestral ditches. Your mission is simple, spit death on doom drums. Venomous tongue, bullet nooses keep us hung. Strong, unsung, holy hymns hijacked and used. Abuse, bruise, blues, pompous cemetery news. You sold sacred soul for fair reserve notes. Debt, no regret now, this axis kept. And polluted power, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Just remember to kneel before Massa and take his load. For those who have ears, hear. Many kill self because of fear. The past is why I'm here. From slave chains to wisdom, so I never end up in upper class cotton picker. For those who have ears, hear. Many sell self because of fear. The past is why I'm here. From slave chains to wisdom, so I never end up a gentrified cotton picker.
Yo, man.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, mission, man. Are you?
The devil made a billion in one day. We're gold buying souls like a pimp on a hoe stroll. The weight is enough, plus the stakes can break. Glancing in my sitting ducks while they washing their trucks. Strange fruit, they add sugar, making Kool-Aid. They pack it in a package, then they market it to new slaves. With tales from the hood, where the good gets dirty. But the hood can make the good die early. But life is short, but them bills are sky high. Hey, shawty, what you drinking at the bar? It can't cover up your scars. You all about the Franklins, huh? Tricking for stardom. But outside your gates, hungry wolves are starving. The fake ish burns when you cook it with margarine. A fake looking learns when he's looking for problems. Shuffling, they picking that cotton. You weakening cardboard for a veteran marksman who aims at the dartboard. Elgin James, suffocate them with the guitar strings. All them skinny jean gangsters and faking their size. Pulp Fiction, blowtorch and a pair of plies. Then burning shit of chains in a lake that's made of fire. No survivors, passengers or drivers. You need it, here's a lighter. They poison in the water full of divers. Biters, outfit shotters. The definition of a cotton picker. Cool, that's it.
Let's welcome to the stage to Real Cool.
I mix what I like, what I like.
Wow. Carry a missing sensibility. Wearing speech clothes that is desperately cool, insecure, normative assault. Cool modified feelings and safety get lost at the bank. Steadily signifying black power. At the turn of the hour, a contrived bravado recites, if we must die. Let it not be like hogs or let us mobly die. Rich and fly. Amnesia's gun makes you choke. Empire strikes again. Tell me, were you born a joke? Or did you choose to change your name?
The dinosaurs, either they're with us or against us. Either they stand or they stand up and listen to what we have to say. I do believe that we have a voice. I do believe that we have a place, and it is a valid place. It is a very real place, and it is time that it is heard. We're walking around in an hourglass, only living in the 50s, only living in the 60s. But it's a new day. There are new thoughts, there are new feelings that hold weight, that push movements forward, that push our lives forward. We get up in the morning every day and we have to go out and find those jobs that tell us, oh, we're not qualified, we're underqualified, we're not in appropriate attire, we're not using the proper language, our rhythm and our cadence, it doesn't match the social elite. And it's like, fuck that. Enough of that. What I want is I want space for my children to feel like they have a platform, because we as their leaders have laid out something that is concrete, that holds weight, that means something. And in order for that to happen, dinosaurs have to fall.
It's Black Fist Fridays.
That's what we call get your mind right music right there. That's fresh off the presses, Cornel West Theories, Cotton Pickers right here at I Mix What I Like, WPFW 89.3 FM. Welcome to the program at I Mix What I Like for all your relevant social media. imixwhatilike.org for more. This beat is also courtesy Tim Hicks and Cornel West Theory. Jax, a beautiful donation. Want to thank him personally and publicly. Beautiful donation once again to the coming George Jackson Releasing the Dragon video mixtape that we're remixing and re-releasing shortly. What's up, everybody? Hayes in the building, Red Eagles on the board, Tim Hicks, Cornel West Theories in the building. Welcome, everybody. You can give a little applause for that joint right
you,
there, man.
You got to have the applause for CWT being in the building.
There we go. Air.
And the new album, Coming From the Bottom, I just OD'd on it all day yesterday and last night. It's I'm the weak link on the album, man. My little contribution is the weak link. But that's okay, because the album is off the hook,
one
man.
Of our favorite tracks on the whole album is your joint.
Well, I appreciate that. The track you hooked it up with is off the chain. The whole thing, I mean, but the whole album, if we're going to get into it with Tim Hicks, and I think we're going to get Rashad Dobbins also from Cornel West there. He's going to call in later. We're going to get into this and hear some more throughout the rest of the hour. And talk more about the album and the making of it and the politics behind it. I think you already heard, you know, some of it in that track. Again, it's Coming From the Bottom. The track was Cotton Pickers, Cornel West Theory. We're gonna anyway, man. Welcome to the program again, man. We're gonna get back into it in just a minute.
Man, what's up with y'all, man? What's up with y'all? That's all I want to know. If y'all good, I'm good.
Right back in this conversation, though.
Let's go.
Because the last time we had you here, you were talking about folks that do not want to pass the torch.
Oh, right.
The shine holders.
There's a video that accompanies that, but now I'm hearing this other track, Cotton Pickers, seems to be a theme.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the album.
We had some issues to get off our chest that just didn't seem like they were being brought up in our community. That thing we call hip hop. So somebody got to say it, you know.
Well, you said it. You all said it well and strongly. And like I said, we're going to come back to. We do have a guest on the line that we need to get to here real quick. Talking about holdovers and things that are left undone and unsaid. So last week we had as part of the show an interview with Stanley Nelson, who did the documentary about his new documentary about the Black Panther Party. And straight up, I received a lot of criticism for it, and I think justifiably so in most cases. It was not a strong interview. It was not critical. And a lot was left unsaid. And so I hear folks, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that we have aspired here on this program to a certain standard, that when people don't hear that standard met, they're quick to let you know. They're like, that was not.
First rule of hate.
The first rule, everyone can get it.
That's right.
And I got it. And I don't, and I'm good with that.
But you didn't give it.
I didn't give it.
Which is why you got it.
Wow.
That's it.
It's the reciprocation of it.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a hate vacuum.
And there's no question. I mean, I think, Stanley is a colleague of mine at Morgan now. I think that was part of it. You know, some of my criticism I had already shared with him, you know, in another setting. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, but it is what it is. And I don't mind that critique. And I'm glad that there are folks out there who were like, come on, JB. That wasn't what you do. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. So we reached out, and in this week's Black Agenda Report is a review of that film called In Defense of the Panthers, Why the Film The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution Should Be Put Down and the Book Black Against Empire Picked Up. And this is by Danny Haifong, who joins us now on the phone. From somewhere in the world. You know, Danny, I don't know where you are, but Danny is an organizer for Fight Imperialism, Stand Together, or FIST in Boston. So that's where he is. Or maybe.
He is also a regular contributor to Black Agenda Report and can be reached at wakeupriseup1990@gmail.com. And Fist can be reached at bostonfist@gmail.com. Danny, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on, guys?
Well, right now you're going on. I want to hear, obviously we invited you on to take a few minutes to hear your critique of the film. And then I think where we might disagree is on the value of the other book you mentioned,
Black Against Empire,
with which I know I had several problems. But let me let you give your critique of Stanley Nelson's film, which I think is an important one. And should get at least some discussion. So please take a moment or two and lay it out for us.
Cool. Well, you know, I think my biggest issues with the film, when I saw it, me and a comrade and a group of people went to see it, and, you know, for serious observers and those who have attempted to study the Black Panther Party deeply because of its significant importance to building a revolutionary movement today, I think my biggest conclusion about the film was that it represented more of a highlight reel of top plays and potential bloopers, but not a serious study of the Black Panther Party as it was constituted in that period. You know, some of my major critiques, maybe the biggest one, is that there's no mention of the Black Panther Party's ideas. I think you were getting in that a little bit, Jared, when you interviewed Stanley Nelson, but, you know, suffice it to say, the Black Panther Party was a revolutionary organization. In the film, there's zero coverage of any of the ideas of the Black Panther Party, and especially in regards to the fact that the Black Panther Party was a Marxist organization, a communist organization, and openly so. I think that one of the things that Elaine Brown talks about in her criticism that I think deserves much attention is the way that Nelson decided to portray Huey Newton in the film and how he, on the other side, glorifies Eldridge Cleaver. Now we know from those of us who have studied the Black Panther Party and its history that the FBI had a huge influence in the split that occurred between Huey and Cleaver, but there was also developments that happened after the Black Panther Party dissipated. For example, Cleaver admitting that he was partly responsible for the murder of Bobby Hutton, and that, you know, he decided to become a devout Reaganite, says a lot about where Stanley Nelson was trying to take this film. In my opinion, a lot of the history in and of itself was either distorted or wrong. In the film, we see that he brings on historians that claim that the national liberation struggles, or what they call the independence movements in the film, in Korea, Vietnam, China, Algeria, were attracted to the Black Panther Party's anti-Americanism. But Stanley Nelson decides not to talk about how the Black Panther Party built an internationalist movement and was leading that at the time, in a period where there was a revolutionary struggle going on all around the world, and where leaders of the Black Panther Party, Huey Newton included, were instrumental in building the revolutionary consciousness of the movement to connecting the struggle of Black people in the United States to the wars and the bombs that it was dropping all around the world. So all of these things are key points that Nelson misses. He also doesn't even talk about how the Black Panther Party started, because if he did, he would have had to address the fact that Huey Newton was instrumental in that too, not to mention Bobby Seale, and creating a program of self-defense that became an inspiration to working class, black people in the streets, which was ultimately, as Nelson decided to look at history, was failure of movement for that. So you know, I think Stanley Nelson partakes in a portrayal of the Black Panther Party that is aesthetically pleasurable but politically deplorable. And it's definitely worth noting that, you know, in your interview with him, Jared, he says he couldn't have pleased everyone, and he used this, you know, his credentials of being able to get 200 Panthers or so to okay the film. But we all know that the counterintelligence program and the repression and the attack on the true legacy of the Black Panther Party has made it extremely difficult to come to a narrative and an historical understanding of the legacy of the Black Panther Party that is at all positive. So for him to partake in some of the more egregious attacks on Huey Newton, for him to glorify Cleaver, for him to leave out the internationalism, the Marxism of the Black Panther Party, and to really leave out the social conditions that brought the Black Panther Party about and that also led to its decline, really does a lot of damage to the potential that we have in this period to bring the Black Panther Party to life in a way that can derive lessons for young people and oppressed people who are struggling today.
We're talking with Danny Haifong today here at I Mix What I Like on WPFW 89.3 FM about his recently published critique of Stanley Nelson's film, The Black Panther's Vanguard of the Revolution, and why, as Danny says here, it should be put down in the book Black Against Empire Picked Up. You can check it out at, I believe, this week's blackagendareport.com. Tim Hicks of Cornell West Theory is here. Dr. Haight is here. Red Eagle's on the board as well. I mean, your points are well taken, and I think all that you said is correct, and was not, I think, appropriately addressed in my interview with Stanley last week. Go ahead.
Danny, this is Haight, and far be it for me to be a balanced person and really ask questions about what you liked, because I'm more interested in what you hated on. But what did you like in the film? I'm just curious to see what struck or resonated with you.
Yeah, you mentioned the aesthetics already, at least.
You know, I think in terms of creating a film that could appeal to people in a very digestible way, I guess I could give it that. But really, there's just so many points that were being missed or distorted when it comes to the objective, just history and just what happened in certain instances when it came to the Black Panther Party. I had a really hard time focusing on what I could get out of it. And I think, you know, for people who are new to the Black Panther Party and who have never heard of it, who have never studied it, it's dangerous, because it does have a lot of, purported and, verified former Black Panther members who basically make up the entire, narrative of the film, which could have had a lot of potential to bringing some real, some real challenge to the reactionary and downright white supremacist propaganda that we are fed daily when anyone brings up the Black Panther Party in the corporate media or anywhere. So, especially in the United States. So, you know, I think the way that it was made had a lot of potential. The way that Stanley Nelson went about it. But I think that there, as Elaine Brown has suggested, that she wants to be taken out of the film, I think that there was a lot of editing being done in it. I thought there was a lot of, manipulation of messages and of history that just made it really hard to focus on any of that.
Now, what about the part where the brother from L.A. is talking about the shootout with
Wayne
the cops?
Far,
right, yeah,
and
yeah. Well,
I see how you got hyped though. You forgot you made it that point. Cause if the film didn't do anything, it was that one part of hearing a brother say, mm-hmm. I felt alive when we had a shootout I felt free defending our space militarily, gun for gun, shot for shot. You couldn't take us for hours. I'm still here.
Yeah.
That didn't give you chills, Danny?
That That was
Danny, yeah, give you chills though. This is
that was a great moment, you know, because Wayne Farr,
you got hyped. You stood up on that part. Don't lie, Danny. You're like, I'm hating it, but damn.
I think I did more of a nod. I think I looked over to my comrade and I was just like, yeah, that's the stuff that we were looking for more so.
Right.
From the film. And you know, one thing that I want to highlight, given you bringing that up, is that, you know, he does give some lip service to the fact that the first SWAT team was created to, mm-hmm. You know, undergo and conduct that operation that lasted almost, what was it, 7.5 hours of pure shootout between the LA Panthers and the SWAT team. But one thing that the film does with the U.S. government war on the Black Panther Party is that it completely misses a lot of very important moments and important context of the FBI war on the Black Panther Party that, you know, if he had a little bit of a more objective position on Huey Newton, for example, you could have read his doctoral dissertation, War on the Panthers, A Study of Repression in America, and gotten a lot of critical information to the vast extent of the war. So while there was some lip service paid to Brent Hampton, who I think he also does a disservice to by completely taking away his very proletarian and Marxist edge, but by focusing just on Brent Hampton in this, you know, attack on the rise of a Black Messiah, he completely leaves out the fact that there was a coordinated effort between the U.S. government, the FBI, which consists of the FBI, the CIA, and, you know, its police department, to eradicate, you know, every Black Panther chapter in a very intentional way that, you know, came from the U.S. government's idea that the Black Panther Party was the greatest internal threat to the security of the United States. And so rather than get into a broad, you know, get into coverage of that war that could bring up a broader conversation about, well, why exactly would the U.S. government do this? He chooses to highlight one specific instance that, or a couple of specific instances that can't really be related to any broader agenda and understanding of the system that the Black Panther Party was fighting against and organizing against, as well as why the Black Panther Party was seen in this way in the first place.
Well, Danny Haifong, thank you very much, man. We'll have to pick this up another time, but I encourage people to check out your piece at the blackagendareport.com. Again, it's titled In Defense of the Panthers, Why the Film The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution Should Be Put Down, and the book Black Against Empire picked up. And we'll resume the conversation about that book another time as well. But I appreciate you offering the critique. I appreciate you coming on with us, and I do encourage people to check out your work and keep it moving. So thank you very much for joining us here at I Mix What I Like, my man.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, everybody, this is, again, I Mix What I Like, at I Mix What I Like, all your relevant social media, WPFW 89.3 FM. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with more of the Cornel West Theory, Dr. Hate, Red Eagle, and you, again, right here at WPFW 89.3 FM. And to all those whose critiques are not, you know, born of community and struggle and collective work and dealing with us on a positive level, we're going to ride out with this, and we'll be back with much more here. I Mix What I Like, WPFW 89.3 FM.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
I mix what I like.
Hello, my name is David Levine, and I'm the 2015 WPFW Local Election Supervisor. The following are messages from candidates for the upcoming 2015 WPFW Local Station Board Election. To view their full statements, visit elections.pacifica.org. Thank you.
I'm Campbell C. Johnson III, a third-generation Washingtonian. I support self-determination and justice for WPFW. Previously, I served 6 years as a contributing member of the local station board and the national board. I've served as chair of various significant committees. I want your vote. I'm committed, experienced, skilled, and a team player. I'm a product of D.C.'s public schools with a Master's of Business Administration degree in finance from the University of Pennsylvania. Previously, I have served as a bank controller, executive vice president of a national development finance firm, and I founded an organization, Urban Housing Alliance, which fights displacement of low and moderate income residents.
It's Black Fist Fridays.
I mix what I like.
I've been thieving and knifing at bottom of district in lawless swamp. Ghosts of Banneker LaFont, Hard DuPont, specters in Rock Creek cops. Patrol all way to Meridian blocks. Rename ley lines, now Malcolm X Park. Straight through Babylon's clocks. Drop that Unabomb heart in her Pentagon heart.
Hustlers, birds, words, and germs. Politics, armaments, raffles, and a lot of tricks. Stop, go, ebb, flow, cops. White floors, jailbirds, cell doors, swing, bling. This is where crabs in a barrel shoot arrows. Souls of sparrows, slaves and pharaohs. Pipe heads passing the time. Flock tourists working on the Ellington Bridge where the skeletons live.
Oh yeah, you do construction? I do destruction. I'm gonna rip.
I put on for my city. A storm in the city comes quickly. The money hungry jungle runs swiftly. Cold, this shit shine gold is so frequent. It's no secret. Holes in the cracks, blowing drove by the rack. Roman souls, open clothes, where it at? Smoking jacks, rolling bones in the back. With children in the trap, get they cracked from an egg in the White House. Pepco's coming, turn your lights out.
Same knees turn to 12 monkeys. By a donkey, elephant, goat, flunky. I'm running through diamond, cotton, hungry. Cutting up cronies, starting to control me. Dimensional control keys, open grandmasters, hegemony. Street grind ceremonies, burn cities, the trophies. Grown, Freedom Plaza stories, moan. Re-own glory, will grow, unknown homie.
Down with experience. Who cares where you went? Who cares what you said? Who cares what you did? Have you ever been experienced? I don't care about your trip to the trees or how you almost once fell to your knees. I never did nothing.
Don't make me drink. Don't make me drink.
Fridays on
I Mix What I Like.
You are here on I Mix What I Like. You may check us out on imixwhatilike.org, where you can see all these other shows and what my daddy likes and other things.
That's right, I Mix What I Like, WPFW 89.3 FM. Jared Ball here, Dr. Hate, Red Eagle, Tim Hicks, and Rashad Dobbins on the line from the Cornell West Theory. That track
here.
13 What's points. What's up, man? My man, my main man. Man, it's good to have you on, man. Huh? Real quick, Zakai Free tweets at I Mix What I Like that the Black Panther film we just discussed is a 2-hour music video with splashes of revolutionary power, and that folks should come out tonight for a screening of Throwaways Movie. Throwawaysmovie.com for more information. 6:30 p.m. 2405 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue Southeast. And he would very much like if Tim and Tim specifically, if you could make it out there to check out this film that appears to be an appropriate response maybe to the kind of conversation we just had about Stanley Nelson's film. But anyway,
big up to Zakai Free.
Yeah,
man.
No question.
Since the Zakai, baby.
So fellas, tell us about this new album, man. I don't even know where to begin, man. I mean, maybe tell us who was on that last track with you.
Well, first of all, we straight Don Trump in it. That's,
okay.
You know, let's put that out there at the beginning. Don Trump in it is the way to go nowadays.
Oh yeah.
Straight obnoxious, in your face, you know, crushing the competition. It's what we do, you know.
Speaking of Don Trump, you know, I was talking to Tom Porter yesterday. Shout out to Tom Porter. And he said Donald Trump is the white Don King.
Oh man, he's more like the white Don Dada,
the supreme hustler doing whatever he needs. Whatever
they should play like Flex by Mad Cobra every time he comes on the stage. That should be his theme song.
He's Swagger Jack Don King.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah, just like
he's a great promoter.
Absolutely, for nothing but you know, and all that he promotes is for his own stuff. You know what I mean? You know, so
I mean, what is good is that you're really seeing the blatant silliness of politics,
of right. American politics in particular.
Right, that's really good.
The fact that this dude, simply because of his bank, is allowed to run like
that's right.
Your rule book, the people that
that's right
are selected to see that those rules get followed and made. This guy's actually in the ring.
Yeah,
that's a joke to me, and I'm only 38 years young.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Well, but what is not a joke is this new album, man.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Rashad, I don't know if you were on when I said I have been ODing on this album all day yesterday, all last night, all this morning, and can't wait to get back in the car and listen to it some more. I mean, it's just... So if we could just real quick, so for anyone who doesn't know, the two of you are on with us this morning, but tell us who are the Cornell West Theory real quick, and then let's talk a little bit about this album, man.
Well, the Cornell West Theory is Sam Levine on the drums, Tim Hicks on the music and the vocals, John Moon on the electronics and music and vocals, Katrina Lorraine Starr on vocals, and then myself, Rashad, on vocals.
And Yvonne Gilmore on vocals.
Oh, man, I miss Yvonne Gilmore, ordained minister vocals.
Right.
Ezra Greer, man. Shout out to Ez, man, on bass, man. Ez is always there. Shout out to Sly, man.
You know what? I just remembered, and I forgot to go and pull it up. I got too wrapped up in the new album. But Rashad, I believe you had a line. Speaking, you know, because the Pope is in town. And I think, didn't you have a line? You have a line about your Catholic school experience in one of your verses.
Oh, man. DC Love Story. It was it was the worst time of my life.
So I just thought it was appropriate, you know, given the moment, you know, # Council of Nicaea, as Dr. Hate was talking about. # line it toward the side. You know what I'm saying? # 1455.
Put them altar boys down.
Oh, man. Hey.
So on the two tracks that I played so far this morning, we've also heard some guest appearances, I believe. On this last track, 13 points. Who was that we heard there?
That's Big Brother Ian Svenonius, mm-hmm. famous for being part of Nation of Ulysses, mm-hmm.
the makeup,
Chain in the Gang.
Chain in the Gang.
He's like the Andre 3000 of punk rock. Yeah,
the Andre 3000 of punk rock. Okay,
yeah, that's the closest metaphor I could give him.
Okay, if you say his name to Zach De La Roca mm-hmm. or Flea or Anthony Kiedis or somebody like that, they're going to be like, oh man, what? It's like it's two N's. It's Makai and Svenonius. You say them, they know their name's going to ring out.
Well, I was loving what he was saying there. I ain't come to build or whatever.
Hey, speaking of which, yeah. we was rapping about the Panthers earlier. Yeah, so that song is what? What was the Ulysses album, Diamonds? It was called 13 Point Program to Destroy America?
Yeah.
All right, so obviously the points comes mm-hmm. from the 10 points.
Right.
Of the Panthers. So I just shortened it and just called our version 13 points. And I sampled Nation of Ulysses in the song.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And Ian didn't know. I had to tell him. So that's just letting you know how slick the sample game is, you know.
Word. And it is a skill, by the way.
It is, man.
We can come back to that, or even now, because I think that's an important point that gets lost in some of this discussion about.
And the record labels are the people that should be paying for these sample clearances, not artists. That's whack. We paying for people who owe other people money. That's really what it is at the end of the day.
I mean, that's what I was saying last week. How are you going to be sitting in London and tell me I can't use a Dilla beat?
People talking about sample clearance issues. Everybody is sampled. Before the sample, the MPC or whatever existed, James Brown sampled from somebody.
I mean,
Little Richard.
Yeah, the Catholic Church sampled from damn African philosophy.
Yeah, exactly, man. So it ain't, the record companies that have the big bucks, that's my stance on it. Forget all the what you've been taught. Tim Hicks from the Cornell West Theory, I'm letting y'all know. The record companies, the entities that have the money, y'all should be paying for these sample clearances. So when I say, I want to, scratch this name on a record like Premier said, y'all are violating straight up and down.
Stop telling.
Anyway, keep going, brother.
No, man. So that's one of the things that I have loved ever since I was put on to you by Dr. Hate.
By way of Tensai. Big up to Tensai.
Big up to Tensai Sankofa, man.
Big up to Tensai.
Big up to all my
cafe.
Yeah, man. All the Ethiopian Eritrean peoples, Habesha peoples throughout DC. What up, man?
I miss dude. Salam. Straight up, man. That's a good dude right there. But ever since I've been listening to your music, I mean, I love, you talk about on this album, Chuck D introduces the album, and you talk, you make the point that at some point he passed you the torch. And it's not just lyrically, politically that I'm interpreting that, but it's also in terms of the style of production. You have a very similar style of production. There's a lot going on in the creation of these beats that are just heavy banging with a lot of, pieces to it. So this point about the mastery of sampling or the art of sampling. I mean, this is not just I grab something from somebody's thing and
this music affected me, and that's why I used it so that somebody else could hear.
And it's used in an ingenious way, and it's used in a way that you might not even recognize the original.
Hey, man, praise God.
I mean, that's how it's supposed to work, and then it creates something new that those who had the what should be seen as a privilege of being sampled.
And that's why the album is a free download because of sample clearance issues. Yeah, we don't want nobody coming to us talking about, and it's like, listen, man, we just trying to build.
But I want to also say that after people get this free download, they need to find a way to contribute. Like, don't take.
Oh, don't
free,
worry. Don't, yeah, see,
just,
we got.
Just, a, I just want to make that point.
We got a scheme coming.
I'm
for
sure
people,
you do,
man. It's going to be a lot of music coming from us, and then next year will be the album that people will have to spend their money on. You know what I'm saying? Because artists got to eat.
So this is that's it. I mean, yeah, absolutely, and especially artists who do this.
Yeah, it's not that.
Any of that.
That slurpy rap. Yeah, it's that slurpy rap. That. Like,
not that Rocky Marciano.
Yeah, yeah. That's that.
I watched that video like four times. Like, did they?
Yo, you when took
we
ta- it
when
there.
We talking about this, man, you want to bring?
You took it.
Go
there.
And ask every question you have. On
but
your now, mind.
But so explain that
for
though.
Folks. Yeah. For folks who don't understand Dr. Hate, I was hating on Biggie when Biggie was alive.
That's
like,
true.
He is not one of the best. Slick Rick is your best storyteller. I don't want to hear anything about Eminem if you can't put his song on a club if people ain't nodding to it. I want to hear nothing about him being the MC. And I'm watching this video and I'm paying attention to it. And I'm like, the images of this video. What's the track for the video? The So Long.
The song is called So Long, Willie Burghardt.
Right. It's cold, right? It's cold. Samples. Mm-hmm. Adios, Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
And it gets into this torch passing piece. Yeah. So if Chuck D is passing the torch, then it's like, who else needs to fire it up to say this is stamped and official for this generation? Man, at this moment.
Man, I sent this to my brother-in-law, an aspiring MC.
Uh-huh.
A very dope MC. Not just into aspiring. He is a dope MC.
Very dope.
I'm trying to push him in a certain political direction. I was like, get over here with this right here. I'm sorry,
so
I cut you off.
So the end of the video is the sample from Coming to America, the barbershop scene when right. Eddie and folks are going, like, talking about the best boxers, Joe Louis.
That ain't going yet.
And somebody bring up Rocky Marciano. And I'm like, I'm tired of talking with young folks and being like, who's your top five? I'm like, first of all, Foul Monch is it, right?
Yeah, really.
Now, if you don't start there, be quiet.
Really?
When they bring up Eminem, I'm like, see, this is you. Every time we talk about boxing, you gotta bring up Rocky Marciano.
There they go again. Joe Louis was 150 years old.
Now I might just be projecting, but what were y'all doing in that moment? That was hateful. Sin qua non hate. Sin qua fa non hate.
Hey, how you want to start this, dog?
Hey, man, what? Well, the reason why we call it So Long, Willie Burghardt, is we noticed that the Talented Temp, you know, in Peace of WB Du Bois Forever, we noticed that the Talented Temp is sort of having a weakness in them. And
explain who the Talented Temp is. So now you ain't not without naming names. Explain to them that we are talking about.
I'm gonna
that core.
Every single name you can.
It's the core group of our artists that have.
That
came
up.
From the underground, and now they're at a level where, you know, even if they're not, like, selling Kanye numbers, they still are at a place where we're not going to see them at, you know, working at the nearest convenience store,
right.
Like, part-time. They're getting money from what they're doing, and God bless them, but it seems like...
I mean, they help raise us.
They help raise us. Like, they part
them.
Of why we even doing this, why we still rhyme the way we rhyme. Right. But it's like
a force that's missing from them.
Yeah,
and every time you go see a documentary, every time you look up, you see Rocky Marciano.
Rocky Marciano. So it wasn't directed at no one person. It was just like all y'all are Rocky Marciano, and they know who they are. It's like every award show. It's like, all right, well, we need to call some conscious artists. I don't have to say no more names. That's day one. Every time we see it, that's what we thinking. So we're just like, all right, look. That was good for a time, but what y'all fail to realize is that the reason why you got people like us following you and wanting to rhyme that way and wanting to make beats that way and wanting to keep the integrity in the hip-hop is because the music possesses a certain force to it then.
Mm-hmm.
And this now is real, real Christmassy. It's like, you know... It's real.
Me and Tim, we got a saying. We say Roscoe 99, and Roscoe Mitchell was a saxophonist from the Art Ensemble of Chicago. And even in 1990, he was still sounding like he was sounding in 1970. It don't matter what age you are. There's a force that's missing.
Yeah.
So we were just like, man, so long, really.
So long to all y'all. Yeah. Either pass the torch or get out the way, man, because you slowing up.
Because it's a match now.
Yeah.
It's a match.
The torch is now a match, and they going to be old, like, I mean,
and to his credit, I mean, even Willie said that. I mean, Willie at his time in that speech in 48 said the Talented Tenth is a mess.
And who's going to carry on the legacy of Kathleen Cleaver and even build on it and talk now and explain to kids, well, hey, you should listen to Jared Ball or you should listen to Rosa Clemente, what they're saying, like bringing the new voices. Mm-hmm. Like, it's other people, you know, in other movements everywhere that need to be heard so that people don't keep saying, you know, it's like a lot of people dissing Dr. West now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, win or lose, love or hate with that. Part of the reason is because it ain't no artist that's going to be out there repping what he's saying. Mm-hmm. How many artists are really going to stand? You know, the one that actually said something, he came back and apologized, you know, on via the Today Show.
Uh-oh, I missed that.
Was that an uncommon experience?
I don't know. Maybe it is common. It's a lot of apologetic stuff happening these days, and we are very unapologetic, which is why, you know.
But that's really for the people.
We for the people, man. We out here with the people. Yeah, it's like, man, I grew up in Northeast D.C. by the shrimp boat. I just spent half a year over in the heart of it all in Anacostia with people losing their lives, people trying to keep their lives, and yeah, man, we on the ground level. We see it.
This is an album. One of the first things that comes to my mind when I think of all your work, but this album in particular, is that it's a punch you in the face album. Which side are you on, Dead Prez, Rebel Diaz response album? It is, we are over here, and mm-hmm. this is and aggressively over here. I love it, man.
Thank you, bro.
The hostility in it, the hostility in the lyrics matches the beats, the style of the sound. I mean, the sisters come in with their presence and their contribution. I mean,
So for folks who are trying to understand the utility of hip hop, mm-hmm. keep in mind that hip hop is a feeling. And the moment it comes on, if you're not nodding your head, it might not give you that feeling, right? Mm. So as soon as you played that track in here, I was about to flip the table, man. I was like, this is it. This is the feeling that I'm missing from hip-hop.
If you don't frown your face up in a good way when the song comes on, I think people call it the funk face. If you don't make that face, man, it's like... Mm.
Man, look.
You know, another good story that we have to talk about with the bar, I mean, it's a must. It really was Melvin Van Peebles. When Tim went to see Melvin Van Peebles said, I love Shape, I love Second Row, but y'all need to do something that's going to knee somebody in the face.
Oh,
so
wow.
He sparked the flame.
Yeah.
That started the bottom.
He said to me, yeah, I said, Uncle Melvin, what you think about them records? He's like, I thought they were brilliant. He said, but I don't want you to basically get in a hole where me, you, and five other cats can dig it. Mm. He said, when I made Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, he said, I made the movie that people had to see, mm-hmm. not the one they wanted to see. Mm-hmm. So he said, you need to go make the album that people have to hear. So that was the intention behind
it. To hear. Listen, we really have to do this again in some other form or fashion as soon as possible, because we're already out of time. We've already gotten one request. Tell people where they can see you perform next, or where they can find out where to keep up with your performances and all that good stuff.
Yeah, first go on to Bandcamp, thecornelwesttheory.bandcamp.com, and you can download the new album, Coming From The Bottom. Not Started From The Bottom, right. But Coming From The Bottom, right. which came before that, may I mention. So yes. People go into the archives and start looking up dates as to when stuff came out. They will understand that these are two totally separate things, and Coming From The Bottom has more to deal with what it feels like, because we started from the bottom. Because
he says, now we're here.
Yeah, we're not here. Like in when Jeffrey comes on. I said the recession ain't over.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it might be over for y'all, you know, when you buying bagels in France, you know. December 20th.
Yeah, we got December 20th.
U Street Music Hall.
Cornel West, Rashad, Tim, to the whole crew. We didn't even talk about the cover of the album. We're going to do this again, man. Thing or another. Fellas, thank you very much for the work and coming through today, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
All right, this track is Alley Cats, everybody. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you in the world in peace if you're willing to fight for it. This is Alley Cats off the new Cornel West Theory album, Coming From The Bottom. I mix what I like, WPFW, Red Eagle, everybody. Thanks again. Peace if you're willing to fight for it. We'll catch you in the world.
It's Black Fist Fridays.
death spot, smoke overdosing on bars. I got no job, a boy, two girls. One's coming in the oven, time running, grind, hustling, trying to get it for the youngest. But the court sent the summons for child support. Plus, my water got cut off, my lights got shut off. I'm praying overnight that all you whack up fucking off. Stressed out weekly, so don't talk breezy. Walking on rock stars, cars, and chains. I ain't forgot about Dick Street, Nick and the gang, and where I come from. My ticket died to that music. Funeral stacks, hood rats, the move units, this is horse mouth. So put away your birds and your cats when the dog's out, dog. I took the long route. And I'm feeling the repercussions that even if people love it, it doesn't mean a thing. And even if people snub it, I eat it and keep it humming. It's underneath the drain. Pipes and sewers of vice maneuver the bash in the skull of my opponent. Glam hoppers only for the moment. Cause soon all you make believe kings and fairy tale queens shall be hung by the rings.
The gods call, cause cultures and wrong palms gone. Songs beneath the pulpit. Mammon is master for masses. I'm sociopathic pastor to wreak havoc with might. Strike might with might. Right like teeth lightning. Bite through backs of the frightened. And enlightened talent's a tenth. I'm
See art for heart's sake. In a place between Columbine and Newtown, between Gory Island and Boston, between Teen Spirit and the Upper Room, where we are more than our relations. Riots of silence burn bridges where no water remains. Cue the music on three. Gifted minds kneel at the altar of autonomy. Waste in plains of plenty. Can't see the equity of Resurrection City, refinanced by scholars for hire. No exit sign at the borderline. Summa cum laude hides its cannons in the alley.
Who needs to get out?
I mix what I like.
Who needs to get out?